that? Why is this news to me? Why am I just now talking about it? Is this recent, flag football in the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Fairly recent?
Yeah, this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been busy. So.
You're going to be champs.
Flag football is an Olympic sport now?
Yeah.
Didn't we pull, wrestling's back, but didn't at one point we pulled wrestling from the Olympics?
I think so.
And I'm not even a wrestling guy. Don't tell that
to
Troy Nickerson.
Wrestling.
Huh?
It was like Greek wrestling.
Yeah, like, but that should be an Olympic sport. Flag football? The soft version of the sport that you normally do? You're just excited because Tyreek Hill is going to be like the face of it.
We're going to dominate the world at football.
Who cares? Like, it's flag
I
football.
Care.
I just Bleacher Report
some
said,
London team's going to roll out their seven guys, and you're going to see Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, and who's the quarterback? Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's Josh Allen. Oh, it's Joe Burrow.
It doesn't matter.
Does.
It's flag football.
Speed kills, Brady.
It doesn't. I'm not. No.
We're going to dominate the gridiron.
It's going to look not like an actual sport. It's not going to look. It's just going to look like guys playing around. I don't know.
Guys and girls, so you never know.
NFL's encouraging active players to compete in flag football events at the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. It's interesting. Yeah. That kind of went past me the last couple of days. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Should the Broncos trade Patrick Surtain? Let's read some texts. Okay, this is on flag football. Apparently, is the best thing ever. Will County Swami says, Patrick Mahomes throwing to Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and Ja'Marr Chase against... Okay. Okay. Sign me up.
The one sport that the United States will dominate in the Olympics. We're good at a lot of other sports, but this one, it's like dream team again.
Aaron texting, and I love Aaron because he puts his name at the end of the text. That's easy for me to recognize you, and I don't have to call you by a number. I don't want to do that. I want to give the hooligans the respect they deserve. Aaron says, I can see some of the countries that are really good at rugby doing pretty well in flag football.
Mm-hmm.
Flying Dutchman. He's still on this James Madison thing. This is from one of my friends who I went to James Madison with. He wanted to make sure I sent this to you guys. It's not the real James Madison, is it?
Looks, so in addition to flag football...
Looks like a statue to me, Angel.
They've greenlit cricket, baseball and softball, lacrosse and squash for the 2028 Summer Games. The 2024 Games will
hell
include...
squash?
I'll find out in a second. The 2024 games will include climbing, surfing, and skateboarding.
Climbing?
Mm-hmm. Like rock climbing.
I mean, that's an activity, and it's awesome. I've
competitive
never done it,
rock climbing.
I admire people that do.
Did you ever watch Guts?
Makes my palms sweat thinking of some of these crazy rock climbers. But that's an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
Do we need more sports in the Olympics?
Yeah. Competition. Medals.
We need more?
Winners
we
and losers.
We got enough.
We got to have it.
I don't know, man. I guess if you can make the money, go for it. But
well,
I have
you know, 2028 games will be in the United States, so we might as well show out.
Is this just going to be a temporary thing?
It's possible.
Like, they don't do it 4 years later? They don't have rock climbing and... backgammon or whatever it is?
So squash is a racket sport that is played in a four-walled court between two players or four in doubles competition. It's like team racquetball.
Racquetball's pretty cool.
Racquetball's awesome.
Like, it's fun to play. Do I want to sit and watch two dudes inside of a tiny little box of a room and...
Oh, nice one, Ted.
Yeah, it's fun, though.
It is.
It's the exercise you don't think you're doing.
It's like the 90s. It's like the best 90s sport out there.
That was a great sport.
Got your shorts, all your little armbands, your sport goggles.
Yeah. It's fun. I love it. It's great. Aaron, because they're the host country, do you think Team USA trots out a cricket team? Okay.
If you can explain cricket
to
me.
What the hell's cricket?
It is, it's not baseball.
No, but they hit the ball like a baseball, kind of.
It involves running between two bases. It involves a bat, I think it's what it's called.
What kind of ball is it?
It's a cricket ball.
But, like, is it like a baseball kind of texture? Or is it like a, what is it, crochet?
Croquet.
Croquet?
Crochet is crochet. Knitting.
Croquet? That's another one I have no idea what that is. That's like golf, isn't it? Croquet is kind of like golf?
Kind of.
You're hitting it.
You got to hit them between the little posts.
Stupid. Saw that in a movie, I think. I don't know. Do we need to add all these different sports? Is bowling an Olympic sport? Yeah, you said Chris wants to know. It shouldn't be.
It was featured in the Summer Olympics in 1988. But no. Doesn't look like it.
The Olympics, like, I would say climbing and stuff is more Olympics than bowling. Because it's, to me, it's got to be a really athletic endeavor type thing. It's got to be an athletic skill. A real athletic. Not, you know, just your aim and touch. That's bowling. But I think, I don't really like the idea of climbing. But if you're talking about Olympic sports, yeah, it should be, like, really athletic type sports. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I don't know. I just think flag football, it's like, I guess you can't do the real football because injuries and nobody's playing it outside of America.
You got to even the playing field when you're bringing the NFL stars.
I'd be curious to know this, though. Like, is it the host country gets to add in a couple of their own flares to it and add different sports? Is this something that's going to carry over? Is this now deemed a sport in the Olympics, flag football?
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Find out in 5 years.
I guess we will.
We got to go to Paris first. Next summer.
Yeah, 2028 is when we'll have flag football. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's going to be... all these guys are going to be like...
old.
Yeah, it's going to be a new crop of players coming in. Speaking of Tyreek Hill, Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, was asked about his system and... whether or not certain players would fit in that system or whether Tua is just a byproduct of the system. Here's Mike McDaniel's response.
There are some folks who believe that many quarterbacks in this scheme, with you as the coach, with Tyreek and Jalen, maybe even many, many quarterbacks, would excel, would flourish, would be near the top of the passer rating, leading MVP candidate. What, if any, pushback is there relative to? Wait, no, hold on. Yeah, Tua is a little different.
About to push this podium over.
my answer to that would be who the F cares, because it is a team. We're working together, and I know one thing. I've coached stuff a long time. I haven't seen people do what our guys do.
I think the reporters, honestly, I was going to use this segment to kind of get after reporters here, but if I were a reporter, like, he's going to be pretty decent to people, but he's going to give you sound bites like no other coach is going to give you and not make you feel uncomfortable.
And Joe Shad, the reporter that asked that question, he didn't do a great job of asking it in a proper way, but yeah.
Well, he's basically asking is the basic
people
question
say
is
that
Tua
anybody
a system,
could operate this system.
Is Tua a system quarterback? Mm-hmm. Is he just part of your system and that's why he's excelling? And to me, you don't know the answer until you know the answer. You don't know that answer until Tua goes somewhere else. When he was under what's-his-face?
Flores.
He was a young quarterback, and we all agree Flores didn't know what the hell he was doing as a head coach.
He was operating Ryan Fitzpatrick's offense.
And this team didn't know if they should tank, and he didn't want to tank, but they kind of should tank. But that was a whole freaking mess. Guys that go at a different team with actual competent coaches and stuff and can excel. Like Russell Wilson, we might be learning the lesson that maybe he is a system quarterback. Maybe he is. But why ask it at that point? Things are good. But you want to get a soundbite.
Yeah, and it's to think that any NFL coach wouldn't scheme their offense to fit their quarterback's strength is, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not just, we're going to put an offense on the field and it's up to the players to execute it. No, we're going to put my players in the best position to execute plays. So we got a lot of speed. We're going to use a lot of motion, a lot of misdirection stuff to get the defense off their footing. The 49ers, they're also a quarterback-friendly system because of the way, you know, it's not all on Brock Purdy. And they have formatted that offense away from Trey Lance, away from Jimmy G, to fit Brock Purdy.
Well, this isn't college sports. College is like teams take on the coach's image. If you say you're for air raid, you're for air raid. Dan Campbell will change if he needs to, if Detroit management decides when they're going to move on from Goff, and then let's say they draft a running quarterback. Suddenly Dan Campbell goes, okay, our entire offense is changing. NFL will do that. So the idea of Mike McDaniel and just inserting Tua and he's a product of it. No, actually, I think Tua and Tyreek Hill and all those things, you could argue work together in a sense where, okay, this is kind of what I'm bringing to this table here, but I got a lot of speed on offense. I'm smart enough at football. I'm going to construct an offense that works for all this speed. John Fox, for example. John Fox had Kyle Orton in his first half year. First half year as the head coach of the Broncos. Then they benched him and put Tebow in. They had to change their entire offense. So I'm not taking anything away from Mike McDaniel. I'm just saying head coaches in this league are smart when it comes to football. They can adapt to a lot of different things and change up their strategy and their philosophy. And that's what Mike McDaniel's doing. He's seeing Tua's skill set. He's seeing Tyreek's skill set and all the speed they have. And he's formulating an offense from that.
It's a guy that's been under Kyle Shanahan for the last 6-7 years and has absorbed all of this offensive knowledge at all these different positions. And now he's on a team, or he has a team that has so much speed and talent that now you can do stuff that he's never been able to do before. Matt Ryan's MVP year, that was great in the Shanahan system, but there are things that Matt Ryan did, or there's things that Brock Purdy's doing that Matt Ryan couldn't do. There's things that Tua are doing that Brock Purdy couldn't do in the offense. You build your team around your quarterback, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. 18 minutes after the hour, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, coming up next. Air Force, Wyoming. That was a heck of a game. Get his thoughts there. I think he was on the call for that game. I know he was doing basketball media days, but he was also on the call for that game. His thoughts on Colorado State, their battle against UNLV coming up this weekend, all that and more. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
No tricks, only treats when it comes to Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. And, man, it's starting to heat up in this Mountain West Conference. And don't look now, but Air Force is, they did crack the top 25. They're getting set to take on Navy this weekend. Talking to us about Air Force, Wyoming, Colorado State, the rest of the Mountain West. Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, my man, what a wild weekend, specifically for the Mountain West Conference.
I don't know what you're talking about. There wasn't a whole lot that went on last Saturday.
Well, here,
holy smokes.
Here I was thinking the Air Force, and it was, Air Force Wyoming game was awesome. Absolutely loved it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be the highlight of my Monday show. And then CSU said, oh, 6 minutes left. Let's go ahead and try to win this game real fast. And then that became a big story.
Total football hangover on Sunday after calling the Air Force game and seeing what was at some level kind of an improbable Falcon victory, all the things that had to happen for them to pull out a victory against a very good Wyoming team. I left the stadium, you're kind of beat, you're mentally fried, and just sat down on the couch, said, I'll watch the rest of this Colorado State game, and yeah, I think I turned it on when it was 17-10, so they're in this game. And then Boise State just starts to pull away, and of course me, like everyone else that watched the game, said, well, this probably is all but over. However, I did finish it, and I was shocked. I may have screamed a few expletives when the Hail Hulker was received. And what a way to snap a 12-game losing streak to an opponent.
Oh, no question. Hey, do you believe the funny thing is, like, everyone's saying that Torrey Horton looked at Holker before that play and said, be ready, I'm going to tip it to you. What do you think? You think Torrey actually said that? What do you think, Jesse?
I'm all in. I mean, look, those things don't happen without some level of preparation. There's some luck there, but you got to have a plan going in, and you know that plan can shift midstream. But you know, I read where Jay Norvell said it was kind of like everyone was just drawing up plays in the dirt, like in a sandlot. You know, sometimes the best ideas in competition come when you go back to your younger years and you just come up with, you don't overthink things, right? And what a play that will forever live in Rams lore for many a reasons, right? I mean, obviously the excitement of that, the opponent, what it means maybe for the rest of the season with the momentum. And I couldn't help but think, Brady, that this was the football karma gods giving the Rams one back for what happened in 2017 to them, where Boise State had a 14-point lead with a few minutes to go, gets a score, gets an onside kick, gets a score, and then scores in overtime, game over, and you say, wait, we had a 14-point lead, like late, really late in the fourth quarter. So I couldn't help that night think that this was some way the football karma gods giving the Rams one back.
So many tweets on that one, too, of people saying, oh, no, it's 2017 all over again. I mean, people were, like, scared. And then when it happened, it's like, is this real life? And it certainly was. They make the extra point, and they're 3-3. Tough task coming up against UNLV this weekend. UNLV's 5-1. We'll kind of see that schedule's interesting for them to start the season. But they're 5-1. I don't think a lot of people expected them to be here. And they are favored, I think, 7.5, maybe 8 by now, at home against Colorado State. And I think that's where Rams fans are, is, okay, what can you do with that crazy win? Can you let it launch you into being a top kind of team in this conference?
Look, here's the reality of this. If Colorado State wants to be in the bowl conversation, if they really truly are, which I think they are, by the way, I think they're a bowl team. I thought that they would be 6-6 at the start of the year. If they truly, these are the games you got to go win. You know, UNLV is a really good team this year. They're not, you know, top two or three in the Mountain West over the last couple of years, good. But this is a very good team. But this is a winnable game. You match up very well with them. Jay has had success against UNLV, albeit a different coaching staff or coaching staffs. But these are the type of games that you go on the road and win. And it's a Rebels team that is getting that major taste of success for the first time in a long time. They're 5-1 for the first time since Randall Cunningham was their quarterback 39 years ago. It's a long time since they have been this good, especially offensively. They've scored 40 or more points in 4 straight games, 5 overall, both are program records. But again, if you're Colorado State and you truly believe that you're a team that can beat Boise State, well, then you should be able to go on the road and hang with and pull out victories against a team like UNLV. So, again, it's a tough task. It'll be a great environment. They're all about the Rebels right now in Las Vegas. But these are the type of games that are tailor-made for you to test yourself and prove to your locker room and your fan base that you truly are the team that people are starting to believe that, man, this team could be a postseason team for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I think so. It's right there in front of them. Yeah, there's an opportunity there against this UNLV team, so we'll see how they handle that one, Jesse. Air Force, Wyoming, that was a great game as well. Jesse, as you said, you were on that call. I was actually listening to you, my friend. I love catching you on that call when I get a chance to, and it's you do a great job with it. Air Force gets the win. They're ranked, but they didn't come away completely unscathed.
Yeah, so the cloud that certainly hung over what was a very magical time and a unbelievable victory was the loss of Zach Larrier, who has been, to date, the MVP of this team. And I'll be the first to say, I wasn't sure. He would not have been my pick for quarterback at the start of the year. I thought that Jensen Jones may be the better guy, and I will eat crow. I was dead wrong. Zach Larrier has been the guy and then some, with the way that he has carried himself, the way that he has run the offense, been efficient, and been a leader. So with that said, it's a huge loss. He's super fast,
super fluid. It's like poetry in motion watching that guy run. However, I do really think that Jensen Jones is ready for this moment. He's a senior. He's been around a long time, taken snaps late in games. He runs maybe not harder. He runs tougher than Zach Larrier. Zach Larrier will run by you. He'll skip by you. Jensen Jones runs like a fullback. He's a bigger guy, bulkier guy. So I do think that Jensen Jones is built for this. The question is, you're going into as hostile of an environment as you're going to go into. If you've never seen one of these games on the road, a game at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium is super intimidating. The march in, the pomp and circumstance, just like when teams come into Falcon Stadium, it's a very tough place to win. Air Force is very good at home. Going into Annapolis, playing against Navy, it's very intimidating. So Jensen Jones will have a baptism by fire, no question about it. But the offensive weapons around him that the Falcons have showcased this year, I think, will be enough. But what a way to have your first collegiate start then in a game that will really project for the rest of your military career.
Well, and you know, you look at it from an outsider's perspective, looking at this team with Air Force, going, well, they just run all the time. And I know the quarterback will throw it a few times, but Jesse, there is an art to what a quarterback has to do in Troy Calhoun's offense. I mean, those handoffs, the triple option, the pitches, everything. There's so many twists and turns in this offense that it's more than just handing a ball off to a running back. There's a lot to it.
Well, the biggest of which are decisions in real time, right? We see it at, you know, programs that have, you know, the elite athletes running RPOs, you know, Texas, Oklahoma. Those are some real-time decisions where the quarterback puts the ball in, let's call it the running back's stomach, and then might pull, might let it go. He's reading things real-time. Well, in the Air Force offense, you're reading things at real-time times five. You're reading, do I give the belly to the fullback? Then I keep it? Do I get to the outside? Okay, linebacker here. Which way is he cheating? Should I? Shouldn't I? What's the risk-reward? These are all split-second decisions that are made, and the best decision-makers in anything are the ones who have felt it real-time, who have been in that situation, who have realized success, who have realized failure. Jensen Jones, for the most part, hasn't been in those situations. He could be spectacular. He could also pucker a little bit, and who wouldn't, because of the magnitude and the things that you're trying to do real time. So with that said, you're right. There are so many things put on a quarterback, and you know, I know Jensen Jones has drilled like crazy all season, all through camp. He was aiming to be the starter, and then certainly this week, knowing he'd be the starter, that he's been drilled and trying to put himself in those situations so when it comes time to make the decisions in real time in those plays, he'll make the right one.
Jesse, one more for you on the Air Force side of things. Before, obviously, we hear about Larrier, I think a lot of us were just looking at the schedule going ahead for Air Force thinking, man, I don't know if they're going to lose here because you get the hard ones out of the way. Obviously, Wyoming was going to be a big task. Now, how do you feel about those chances that Air Force could potentially run the entire table the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I feel good. I think this is a good team. I mean, it's incredibly hard to win on the road in college football, and Air Force will be significantly tested now on the road week in and week out. There's only one more game at Falcon Stadium the rest of the year. You're playing at Navy, you're playing at Colorado State, you're playing at Hawaii, you're playing at Boise State, and you have a neutral site game at home against Army. The only home game is against UNLV, and that is a month away on November 18th. So it's really hard to win on the road, and it's really hard to win on the road in rivalry games. And you could make an argument that four of the next six games are rivalry games. Army and Navy, certainly Colorado State, the Ram Falcon Trophy, and I would lump in that Boise State. It's become one of the best matchups in the Mountain West. Air Force has gotten Boise State as many times as anybody, including wins up at Albertson Stadium. So there are four games here that will be high stakes, high emotion on the road. So
I mean, I don't know what the odds are. The odds are probably not in their favor to go undefeated. Are they going to be quote-unquote favored in every one of those games? Probably. So it's the you can't look at the big picture right now if you're in that locker room. You got to look at it through a microscopic lens and focus just on what's ahead of you. Because if you start thinking about 6-0 over the next six, I think you're in bad shape. But it'll be a team that probably will be favored going down the stretch.
Yeah, well, it's been fun to watch this team. That Wyoming Air Force game was awesome, was fantastic. Jesse, appreciate you, man, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. Let's see if we're talking about some more victories over the weekend. See if Air Force gets the dub, and then potentially does CSU go in and pull off what looks to be an upset against UNLV.
Look forward to it, man. Appreciate the interest, and be well this weekend.
All right, you too, my friend. Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor, Mountain West Network. Angel, it is time. Every week we get to this stage, and, you know, there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of people that are doubting the Thursday Night Special, the power that used to be the most talked about radio segment in the world has faded a bit. Yeah, I've run into some trouble. But I mean, this is how it goes. I mean, great, amazing legends of the game of sports, they sometimes hit a brick wall. They do. Can they bounce back? I am going to prove to you guys that I am that legend, and I will in fact bounce back. Mr. Thursday Night is back, Angel. We've got Saints Jaguars tonight on Amazon Prime, is what it is. Yeah, okay. We've got that tonight, and I've got your ticket coming up next. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I think you're a sorry, low-down S.O.B.
Don't be an idiot.
What?
I said don't be an idiot.
You're trying to run like a little scalded dog here.
You will remember me forever and ever.
Better than me. I don't see nobody. I don't see nobody. Who's stepping to me? I don't see nobody. I don't see nobody.
We're going for two in a row. It's been a rough go for me, but last week was gloves off. I wasn't going with my heart or anything like that. Broncos, Chiefs, no, no cover. I took the Chiefs, got that easy, nailed it. I mean, not easy, but nailed it. So now I got to start, as the players say these days, Angel, you got to stack days. You got to stack them. So taking a look at this Jaguars-Saints thing. Oof. That's an interesting one. Saints are two-point favorites in New Orleans. Here's just a couple things to stand out when I'm evaluating this. Saints got Derek Carr. Offense had 400 yards last week. Can't score in the red zone. Can't seem to convert once they get in the red zone. That's got to change. They're 3-3. They have a chance to make something of this season. Dennis Allen getting Derek Carr. Derek Carr trying to, you know, rebuild his career after, for some reason, you know, Josh McDaniels didn't want him there. So that was a weird situation. But here he is, 3-3, 1-1 at home. They're 2-point favorites. As we look at the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, interesting setup here. He's got a sprained left knee. I saw the Jags picked up somebody, some guy, as an insurance policy, third string dude. And Lawrence got hurt. He got that injury in the final minutes of their 37-20 win over the Colts last Sunday. He just had 3 days to recover, short week. But he's going to go. Sounds like he's going to go. And that's scary with or without him, because this Saints defense will light you up. It's the fifth ranked defense right now in total yards. they're stingy. I don't think the over tonight is 40, Angel. I don't think in a Saints game this year there's been over 40 points. How about that? Saints are going to play tough defense. Now, can their offense step up? That's the question. As for the Jaguars, Doug Peterson, man, he's got this team believing. They're 4-2. They have a heck of an opportunity right here. On the road. Lawrence has been good, dude. 67% of his passes he's completed for 1,400 yards. Here we go. Give me, with the -2, the New Orleans Saints to cover.
Hold on to your butts.
I've been to New Orleans. It's wonderful.
Oh, I've been there as well. The food alone is worth the trip.
Oh, yeah. Derek Carr. Let's go, Derek. Let's go, Derek.
What is coming? Touchdown, New Orleans.
New Orleans. Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
It was from the narrow streets of once fabulous New Orleans where jazz was born.
He's back, Kamara. Made a man miss. Alvin Kamara across midfield, still on his feet. Kamara's got a bunch of room and some blockers.
Kamara, big night tonight?
Inside the 50.
Big night.
Kamara, who's all the way in.
Maybe.
Touchdown.
Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants.
That's right.
Up, hit by
that's
Granderson,
right.
Intercepted on the ricochet. That's Matthew for six.
He's stingy.
That's a pick six.
I now have two loves in my life, big city living and a voodoo woman named Phyllis.
I love it, man. I love that. Can they get the job done tonight? The question is, like, between the 20s, Saints are going to roll. Saints are going to move up and down the field, but can they get into the end zone will be my biggest concern. But I'm telling you, the Trevor Lawrence thing, sprained left knee, questionable. He was doubtful on Tuesday, questionable now. 3 days in between, man, that's not a lot of time with that. So that was kind of, I'll be honest with you, Angel, when I first looked at this game, I thought, Jacksonville? Maybe on the road? Then as the week progressed, I looked at the Trevor thing and then this defense. 8 interceptions for the Saints, man. I know Trevor has been very efficient with his passing percentage. Or his completion percentage. I just feel like this defense is going to get after it tonight. And I have a gut feeling tonight you see Derek Carr go off and they actually get in the end zone. Feel good about that?
I do. One of my good friends from high school is a big Saints fan, so I know he'll be watching tonight. I've been kind of high on the Saints this year. I like Derek Carr as a quarterback. I like that defense. Cameron Jordan, the big guy there in the middle. Tyrann Mathieu, obviously, playing in New Orleans. Good vibes there. A little voodoo magic. It's mm-hmm. October, Halloween, yep. A little spookiness going on.
Yeah.
I like the Saints to win it.
Let's go New Orleans. Two in a row coming up for the Thursday night special. Mr. Thursday night has spoken. I like the Saints, -2. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
We learned on this 19th day of October. We started off the show with a bang. I mean, Hooligans are coming in hot. We're learning about presidents and schools' names and getting pictures of statues sent over to us and all that, man. We learned a lot of different Madison names today. That was exciting. But I'm going to say that I learned that that Air Force, even though they're undefeated, they cracked the top 25 and all that stuff. Without their starting quarterback, it's going to be interesting to see how they do the rest of the season. So I learned that maybe putting all your funds into Air Force going undefeated the rest of the way, might want to pump the brakes just a little bit until you see the new guy and how he plays this weekend against Navy. Angel, what'd you learn?
Two things. That it's not a bad thing to have a system that's centered around your quarterback in the NFL, but it also does require a team around you that can execute it properly. And I learned that kids' TV is maybe not as mature as it used to be.
Yeah, it's not as dark.
I don't know
either.
If Chase is cracking down on the case with a gargoyle shooting.
Oh my gosh,
it happened.
It's so I don't know why I randomly thought of that the other day. I'm like, gargoyle killed a girl,
obviously,
or shot a girl. Yeah, it stuck with me. That was weird.
Is Broadway still on the loose? Like, what's going on?
I just remember being a little kid, and I'm just like, he just picked up the gun. He's playing.
Yeah, Dale Brady, what happened on your show today?
He was like,
someone got shot.
He was watching TV, and he sees like it was a Western, so he's pretending to be like, kapew, kapew, and then she walks in, and then boom.
Need to go watch.
She's on the ground, and it was like, and I just remember sitting, I'm like,
this just got real.
What? I guess this is what we're doing this week.
This is my Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah, this is where we're going Saturday morning. Okay, I'm in. Freaked out, depressed,
like, sorry,
scared,
Mom, I can't play with the toys today. Things got serious on Gargoyles.
Do not like that BB gun idea that I asked for Christmas. I'm out on that. I'm done. Broadway kind of steered me in the right direction there. Learned more from him than anybody else that day. That was crazy. So be careful with your cartoons, man. Your old school, your new school, whatever it is. All right, what do we got coming up later? We got Coach Speak replay coming up in about 7 minutes, and then whole show replay until 5 o'clock. And then we'll go to Rams Weekly with Kevin Lytle and myself. We'll talk all things Colorado State, relive and rehash some of their big win over Boise State over the weekend, and prepare for CSU-UNLV. Is it upset time? Is it time for the Rams to go get another one? They won two in a row once this year. Can they do it again? All that coming up on Rams Weekly. And then Thursday Night Football. Saints-Jaguars tonight here on KFK. We'll have that for you. Good night, Northern Colorado.